Welcome to the Legacy House Podcast. Our mission as a church is to equip people to know God, live free, and find purpose. We express the mission of our church through adoration, biblical teaching, creativity, and discipleship. We have prepared this message for you, and we know God is going to use it to minister to you wherever you are and in whatever situation you're going through.
If you got your Bibles, go with me to the book of John, and we're going to go to John chapter 1 this morning as we kind of really wrap up our See the Light series that we've been doing for the last 4 weeks, and next Sunday. It's kind of crazy how this year fell, where you have Christmas Eve on a Sunday, and then you have New Year's Eve next Sunday night. It's all kind of back to back here, and so it's going to be an awesome weekend. But starting in January, right at the beginning of January, we're going to have 21 days of prayer and fasting. We've got a devotional that we're going to hand out. We're starting a series called Do Not Resuscitate, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to really be life-changing. So be watching out for that in the next few days and weeks as that comes out. But John chapter 1 is where we're going to start our reading this morning. And I want to look at a few things, because really, you know, today is it. And we all kind of, everything in this month, everything in this year really even kind of runs downhill to this moment where we celebrate the life of Christ and Christ coming into our heart. But it's a lot more than just the religious ritual. It's a lot more than just the pattern or the routine, or this is what I do on Christmas as I come to church. Maybe that's the case, but Christ desires for us to have more than just that. He desires for us to have more than just the moment or the segment of time, but really that it becomes a life expression for us. So John chapter 1, and you're probably familiar with some of this chapter, and if you're not, I'll give you a brief overview. John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And so kind of has this moment where it's a traditional kind of Christmas, not Christmas, but just a traditional like Christian thought, is Jesus was the Word. He has been here from the beginning. He will always be here. He was the Word. But then if you look down a little bit further, we can really kind of get into kind of the meat of this today, and really what I want us to kind of look around here. In verse 4, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." So it says that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it says, and in him was this life, and this life was the light of the world. And darkness could not comprehend this light. If you had to, this is a rhetorical question here, but this is for you to think about. If you had to sum up the Bible with one word, what would that word be? Just think about it. Let it marinate in your brain. If you had to sum the Bible up in one word, what would your word be? It could be complicated. It could be difficult. It could be joyful. It could be whatever. Whatever your word is, think about it for a moment. Sum up the Bible in one word inside of your head. Here's my word. I'll tell you mine. You don't have to tell me yours. My word is behold. I think everything in the Bible can be summed up in the word behold. It's beholding Jesus, who was coming, the Savior of the world. It's beholding the works that he's done. And the word behold has a little bit more weight to it than just look or see or recognize. But it really is a picture that not only should we see this, but we should understand the weight of this. I remember when I was little, we went to a youth camp every summer. I grew up going to youth camps. And one summer, I was real little. I had stayed the night. My dad was looking out over one of the guys' dorms. My mom was looking out over one of the girls' dorms, and she was staying in there. And one of the nights, for whatever reason, I had gotten scared or something. And so I spent the night in the girls' dorm. Well, as a young man amongst young men, when you spend the night in the girls' dorm, you came back with a wealth of knowledge and information that needed to be given out. And I went into the guys' dorm. They're all asking me, what was it like and what happened over there, and what just was it just madness. And I had like one thought. I said, well, fellas, I said, they come in all shapes and all sizes. That was the best wisdom I could give as a six-year-old. And that's still about all that I know about women. It's like, look, they're all different. And we're never going to get it figured out. But as a young kid, I had seen some things that somebody else wanted to see, needed to see, wished that. And I remember, like, we grew up in these camps. Like, as a pastor's kid, there's There's a few perks and a lot of things that you kind of endure. Late nights, early mornings, sleeping under pews, sleeping on top of pews, sleeping beside of pews, sleeping in church vans, sleeping in other people's vans. Like people yelling at you for wearing shorts to church because Jesus wouldn't be happy with you. You know, every physical, like every time I got physically hurt inside of like in life, it typically involved a church building or a camp. One Sunday morning I was running through the building being chased by the devil himself, which was in the form of a little girl. And so I was running and I rounded a corner and I hit the corner of the wall and like split my lip in like two pieces like on a Sunday morning. So my life revolved around the four walls of a church. And for that, I'm thankful. But there's some interesting things that you see when you get around church people long enough. If you've known somebody who's been saved for about more than 6 months, typically, they begin to become the image of what they think it means to be a Christian rather than what it actually means to be a Christian. And so here in John chapter 1, like as much as we'll tie this back in, here in John chapter 1, you have the writer kind of giving us a true picture of what it means not only to live in this light, like give the light that God has given, but for us to truly see what it means. Not just see him as like Jesus who died on the cross, or not just see him as the baby in the manger, not just see him as the Savior of the world, but to behold everything that that means. It's really to see it and to think about it. To see it and let it kind of sit and settle inside of your heart and in your life. Today, I believe that as we kind of wrap this time up and we wrap this moment up, I believe that what God desires for all of us is to behold who he is. Behold who he is. Behold what he's done. Behold who he's created and called us to be. Because once I see him and once I see the light that is in him, then I realize that the life that God has called me to is a life that gives away the light that has been given to me. That's what this all boils down to. My life as a believer, your life as a believer, as we get ready for Christmas Day tomorrow, our life is summed up in simply giving the light that we've been given. It's not about giving our gift. It's not about giving our wisdom or our insight. It's just about giving that light. Because as the light of God shines through our life, darkness cannot comprehend it. Like, I love the fact that right here at the beginning of the book of John, it makes it very clear and very evident that the greatest way that we can confuse the enemy is to live in his light. The greatest way that we can confuse the tricks, the plans, the lie of the enemy is to live inside of the light of God. Look down with me in verse 6. It says, "There came a man sent from God whose name was John, and he came as a witness to testify about the light." Like, I love this, right? It says in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and in him was the life, and this life was the light of the world. And it says, then John came to testify about this light. It's a passing down, so to speak, of the light. Jesus was the light of the world. John came to tell you about the light, passing that light on down further. So John the Baptist comes, and he's testifying of this light. And it says, he came to witness, to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. And that's important to understand because God has not called us to be the light. Sometimes as believers and sometimes as humans, we can take on almost this like superhero or this savior complex. That's, you know, so many superhero movies are like such a big deal right now. And those are the movies making the most money at the theaters and the box office. It's because there's something fascinating about the idea of a superhero. Like being a superhero. I remember one time we lived in another city. We were riding a van. We had gone to see, I don't know, someone at some sort of talk or something. And I was sitting in the back seat with a guy and I was asking him like, tell me about your life. If you could do anything, what would you do? He said, if I could do anything, I would get in a fight with a bear. And I was like, this guy was like mid-20s, like real life mid-20s. And he had grown his hair out. You ever met the person who always compares themselves to someone good looking? Like they never compare themselves to someone crazy looking. Remember the Flynn Rider off of Tangled? He always compared himself to Flynn Rider. You're like, bro, you need like the pride to be broken off. You're like, you're crazy looking. Just because you wear a Superman t-shirt and grew your hair out doesn't mean you have powers. But he was convinced. I was like, oh, that's funny. And he's like, no, I'm serious. And like, he said, even if he could just like scratch me across the chest like one time, he's like, how sick would that be? Like, I'm not talking about a middle school student. I'm talking about a guy in his mid-20s, like, Lord, we need to pray for the future and this next generation. He was like, if I could just have like one bear scratch. Like, he said, the other thing would be super cool is if I could like be thrown like into a brick wall and it would like crush like around me. I was like, dude, you have watched way too many movies. Like, but that's how we live, right? Like, we live in this kind of superhero mindset where it's like, man, if I could just get in a fight with the bear, I'd probably win. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't win at all. And you have these moments, right, for all of us in here that I think that what God is calling us to is more than just simply being here. Life is more than just being present and breathing air and taking up space on earth. But life is about understanding not only the light that God has shown in our lives, but the light that we've been called to shine in others. I love the fact the Bible takes a moment, John the writer takes a moment, and he says, look, hey, he was testifying, he was witnessing about the light, but he himself was not the light. One of the greatest ways that you in this holiday season, I really believe, can lift the load off of your life is to understand that you don't have to be the light, you just have to share it. You don't have to be the light. No one's asking you to crawl up on the cross. No one's asking you to be born of a virgin birth. You just have to tell somebody about the one who was. You have to just tell someone about the one who was. And there's some things that I believe this morning that we have to behold. You don't have to look over there with me. I'll just reference it to you right now for the sake of time. Isaiah chapter 7 in verse 14. It says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign, and behold, a virgin will be with child and will bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Therefore, the Lord will give you a sign, and behold. Not just a sign to see, not just a sign passing down the interstate, but a sign to behold, to look at, to think about, to wrap our minds around. And there's some things this morning that I believe for us that we really have to behold as we wrap up this year. And number one, the first thing is this, is that we have to behold the divine design of God. The divine design of God. Jesus is who he is, not because someone like he drew the short straw. He is who he is because of the way that he was designed. He was born of a virgin so that he could be spotless himself so that we might be saved. There's a divine design about who he was. And as he grew and matured in the Lord, the Bible says that he grew in wisdom and in favor with men. That divine design was passed down to us. It's called the Zoe life of God, that breath of God that's inside of us. So when God begins to give himself to us and he begins to call us as people to be how he's called us to be, it's not that we've been called to be the Savior, but it's that we've been called to utilize the gift that has been placed inside of us. The divine design that you have. Look, every single person in here, whether you're young or old, whether you're male or female, doesn't matter. Every single person in here was divinely designed. So then what are we doing with that? With the design that God has given you, with the design that like courses through your veins every single second, what are we doing with it? What am I doing with it? What does my life look like? What does my future look like? Because here's what I know is that when I behold his light and who he is, and I behold that he was divinely created, then I realize that his perfection has made atonement for my imperfection. That his perfect, righteous nature has made grace and room for me in my sin and in my fault. Because here's what I know today is I know that no matter what Christmas looks like for you, no matter how good or how bad or like how like awkward it is when you get around your family, Christmas isn't Christmas unless you have some really awkward family interactions. And you know, we all have those family members that we get around that no matter, we can stand there in front of them for 3 hours and not a meaningful word will come out of each other. Like, but how about that football? Yep, love it. Like it's just going to be that for 3 hours. Like, no one's going to say anything that actually matters. But it's just the way that it is. It's just the holidays sometimes. Sometimes it's fun and exciting, and sometimes you've got the uncle who drinks too much who showed up early and likes to stay late. And, like, that's just the way that it is sometimes. So no matter what it looks like for you at the holidays, what we know is that no matter how high our life seems or how low it seems, divinely, God was created in a way to redeem us and to redeem who we are. Look, today I don't know what burden you're carrying. I don't know what weight you might have walked into the room with, but I do know this, is that his divine nature and quality has the ability not only to save you of your sin, but to set you on the course that he has for the rest of your life. Man, please don't let your age be the disqualification for why God can't use you. The Bible talks about do not despise their youth, but then it also refers and talks to the older generation about raising up and being a mentor, like leading and loving those who are coming behind you. Look, you're not too young and you're not too old to be used to do great things. Like the pattern of your life, the repetition of your life, the things that you've lived through, walked through, those are things that when they come under the redemptive nature of who God is, they have the ability to not just be a part of us, but to be something that flows through us. Let me give you the next thing is this. The next thing that we see, sorry, on the wrong page. The next thing we see is this. The next thing we have to behold is his overwhelming love. Look down in verse 29. It says, the next day he saw Jesus coming to him and he said, this is John speaking. He said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He said, this is he on behalf of whom I have said, after me comes one man who is higher than I, not because he was before me, but because that it might be manifested to all of Israel. I came baptizing in water, John testified, saying, he said, but I have seen the Spirit descending like a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. And I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. The second thing is that it's not only the divine design of God, but it's the lavish love of who he is. You ever been loved in a way that you did not deserve? Someone who just loves you and keeps loving you, like just loves you in spite of your faults, loves you even though they know you're going to mess up again, loves you just because you're you. You didn't have to do anything. You just woke up breathing today. I love you. And you're like, I love you for loving me. And please don't, whatever this cloud is, like don't, like do not lose this. It's because there's something about like a lavish love. There's something about a love that says, you know what? It doesn't matter where you've been. It only matters where you're going. And look, today, it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what your past has looked like, because God wants to respond and he wants to lead you to a place of salvation and of repentance. Because here's the thing, is that when we behold who he truly is, when we see that he's divinely designed, and then we see that all of a sudden he wants to begin to lavish and pour this love on us, it evokes, it demands a response for it from us. Holiness comes from understanding who he is. Because when we behold him and we look at him and we see him with our eyes, then all of a sudden we have to do something about this love we've experienced. We have to do something about this love that has been given to us. And here's the writer, John is saying, he's like, look, hey man, he said, behold, he's hanging out. He said, behold, here comes the one, the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world. He didn't say, hey, here comes the Lamb of God who's going to make you all feel super bad about what you've done, and he's not going to give any answers. He's just going to kind of leave you there. He's like, you know what? You really jacked some stuff up. All right, I got to go. Like, wait, what? Hang on. Like, no, that's not what he says. He says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And before we just take it as a big word of sin, let's break that down a little bit further for us. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the depression on your life. Behold the Lamb of God who takes the worry off of your mind. Behold the Lamb of God who brings joy back to your heart. Behold the Lamb of God who loved you even before you ever knew him. Behold the Lamb of God, because all of a sudden when I begin to see him and I understand what I'm seeing, I realize that his love is something far greater than I could ever deserve. I can't deserve this love. Like, you, neither could you. It's not about doing enough to earn it. It's about receiving it and letting it change who we are. Because John said, look, behold the Lamb of God who takes on sin of the world. Look, he's coming. I told you he's coming. Like, y'all thought I was crazy. I was telling you about this guy who a dove was going to come down, and like, it's going to be this whole thing. There he is. He said, he's not greater than me because he like outranks me in seniority. He's greater than me because he's the Son of God. He's greater than me because of who his Father is. And the greatness that God desires to give in our life is not based on our bank accounts. It's not based upon the success of our business. It's not based upon the size of our family. It's simply based on the fact, do we understand and have we received this lavish love? Do we understand that, behold, there he is, man. It wasn't me who took away my sin. It wasn't me who got my life right. It wasn't me who pulled myself out of that depression. It was the Lamb of God who came to take it all away. It was the Lamb of God who came to save, to set free, and to heal my life. I love John the Baptist is an amazing guy for a lot of reasons. But he's amazing because he could identify the one coming after him. He didn't spend his life in his ministry trying to promote himself. He spent his life in his ministry promoting the one who is the true living Son of God. Before you think, well, that's easy for you. You're a pastor. That's what you do. Every job that is represented inside of this room, every business that's owned, every home that's represented, in every single one of our current places, not our future places, let's talk right now, every one of our current places, God not only wants to lavish his love on you, but he wants to teach you how to lavish that love on others. How to bring that, look, well, I'm in a corporate setting. Look, I might not have the answers of how it's to be done in that setting, but what I do know is this, is that God wants to see his love exemplified and brought to the forefront of that environment. Look, God loves you right where you are. Therefore, his love should flow through you right where you are. Let me give you the third thing. Third thing is this. Third thing that we see that we have to behold here is the radical response. Look down with me in verse 37. It says, the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus, and Jesus turned to them and saw them following. And he said to them, what do you seek? I love this question. Like, think about this for a moment here, right? Like, he said, what do you seek? What do you want? Isn't it amazing? Like, we think about that with Santa Claus, right? Like, this time of year, you go to the mall, you sit on the lap, like your kids sit on the lap of Santa, and you don't sit on the lap. That'd be uncomfortable for all of us. Like, no, kid, you try to get your kid to take the photo. Like, the phone's like upside down and backwards, but like I got to sit on his lap every year. That's what I do. Like, I won't get my gifts unless I tell him. And we understand that thought from a Christmas perspective, right? I'm going to sit on Santa's lap. I'm going to tell him what I want for Christmas and so forth and so on. But this is Jesus talking to some, like, the newest of new disciples here. Like, John's going along and he's telling about all these things. Verse 35, actually, if you look back a little bit, it says, and again the next day John was standing with two of his disciples. Like, imagine this moment, right? Here you're John. Like, you've been preaching this message. You've been telling everybody about it. Like, he's the one, Son of God. Like, he's going to take away the sin of the world. And then all of a sudden, Jesus walks up again, and two of John's disciples just decide in that moment they're going to go follow Jesus. You're like, let's not act like John was divine. Like, John probably for a moment was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Like, you know what I mean? Like, here he is. He's standing here. Two of his disciples, they see Jesus walk up. And John reminds them again. Do you ever wonder if John, like, regretted reminding them that was Jesus? Like, oh, maybe they'd have just forgotten. Like, could have kept my team big. Like, we've got big plans. We've got vision for the future. We're going to expand our ministry. But he didn't. He says again, he reminds us, look, here he comes again. The two disciples, they leave John and they go with Jesus. And as they're walking along, the very first question that Jesus asks them is, what do you seek? I believe the question today, man, that God is asking us is, what do you seek? What are you looking for? What are you looking for? We're like, nah, this is not for me. I'm not really into the whole God thing. No, it doesn't matter whether you are or not because he created you. So, like, you might not know that he loves you, but he loves you. You might not know that he's for you, but he's for you. You might not even know that, like, there might just all be an accident, or you might feel like this is just chance that you're here in the room today, but it's not just chance that you're here in the room today. You are here because through his divine nature and his radical love for you, he's brought you to this point where now all of a sudden there is this response. Because what happens is the disciples, they say, what? Like, can you imagine this guy being the Son of God, like the Savior of the world? And here in verse 39, he asks you, what do you seek? What do you want? Like, what are you here for? Like, what is it that you need from me? And they said to him, Rabbi, which translates to teacher, he said, where are you staying? It's an interesting question, right? Like, it's kind of a weird question. Like, out of all the things, it's like this, like, divine moment where it's like Jesus said, hey, what do you want? And you're like, can we sleep somewhere? Like, the other guy, like, hits the other one. Like, he gets angry. He's like, you could have asked for anything. Give me wings. Like, you know, whatever it might have been. But, like, he says, wait, where are you staying? Verse 39, it says this. It says, come and you will see. So they came and they saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. For it was about the 10th hour. I love the fact that Jesus' whole life in ministry was about showing someone else. Jesus could have said, oh, yeah, look, I'm staying down here at the Hilton Garden Inn in Jerusalem. It's a new one. It's really nice. You go down to exit 5, you get off there. Meet me. He just says, look, why don't you come with me and see for yourself? Here's the thing about no matter what it is today that we seek from the Lord. He's not going to just hand you the map and say, go. He's going to take you by the hand and say, come. These disciples were new to the game. They were fresh in this thing. They could have asked for anything. They did. They said, where are you staying? He said, man, why don't you come with me? I'll show you where I'm staying. Today, I believe that in all of our lives, we have some people that we need to show some things to. We need to show that life and that light to. So look, why don't you come and see where I'm staying? And that began the moment where all of a sudden things begin to change in his life. Look down with me, if you will, a little bit further down in verse 47. So Jesus here in John chapter 1, he begins to assemble his disciples, and that's what's happening. And these first two guys, they come along and they see where he's staying. And you get all the way down to verse 47, and it says this. It says, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. So he saw Nathanael, and he says, look, hey man, this guy's great. There's no deception inside of this guy. See, here's the difference between what happened just a few moments ago and what happens right here in this spot. What happens between the two is different. The other two disciples, the first ones we saw just a moment ago, they saw Jesus and went to him. Nathanael was seen by Jesus and Jesus called him. So there's a difference here because not only, like, it's one thing to see Jesus and then respond. It's a whole nother thing for Jesus to see us and then respond. Jesus says, hey, man, look, there's Nathanael, and there's a man, and he's an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. And Nathanael freaks out, like loses his mind. Why? Because he's like, how did you see me? Nathanael was hidden under a fig tree at the time. And Nathanael says, how did you see me? Like a fig tree was like so thick and it's like canopy, like the branches and leaves would come so far down to the ground that he was hidden up under this spot. And really what he was saying was, how could you see me when no one could see me? How could you see me when no one could see me? Because all of a sudden he says, look, if you saw me, you must be the Son of God. Because you saw things no one has seen. And God divinely wants to work inside of our life, right? And he wants to lavish this love on us and pour it out. And when we as believers and as Christians, as human beings, when we face these moments of our life, we have the opportunity to create and to have a radical response. Like when we see Jesus moving, we have the ability inside of our hearts and lives to choose whether or not we will move where he is moving. But then you have this last spot where he goes along, and this is one of the few disciples where you see Jesus do this. And he says, look, man, hey, and there's no deceit in you. That is a great, great cosign right there. And Jesus walks up and is like, this guy's great. You're like, I'm pretty great. Like you feel pretty good about yourself if Jesus says, hey man, here's an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael freaks out, loses his mind. How'd you see me? No, but seriously though, how'd you see me? You ever been out in public somewhere and someone texts you like where you are? Isn't that like the weirdest and creepiest thing that anybody could ever do? Be like, you liking those socks? And like, you're like standing in the dark, you're like, it's like, and like, what's even weirder is if the place is like empty and you're like, I don't know where you are. This is some sort of like demonic stuff. They're like, I'm not, like, it's weird when someone sees you and you don't see them. It makes you feel a little uncomfortable. So here's the guy who is the savior of the world. He walks up and says, hey man, there's no deceit in you. Like, I saw you. Like, what do you mean? Wait, hang on a second, though. Like, how did you see me? And Jesus' response to him is what's amazing. He basically is like, look, hey, if you think that was cool, you got to come with me. Let's don't make Jesus just like, you know, the archaic photos of Jesus where his hands are kind of crippled and like he looks like he's got scurvy or something. Like, Jesus was a cool guy. Like, I believe Jesus did some funny stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Jesus had to be funny. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in the disciples, like, he had to allow funny things. Like, there's one time where these guys were disciples, and they went in to pray for this guy who was demon-possessed. This is the demon literally beat them naked. Like, Jesus had to laugh at that, right? Like, can you imagine these dudes going in to pray for this guy? And, like, the demonic oppression that is on this guy, he manifests, beat the clothes off of them. Like, I promise you, I don't care how hard your parents spanked you when you were a kid, no one ever beat the clothes clean off you. You know Jesus had to crack up about that. Like, Jesus had to laugh. And here's like basically what he says to Nathanael is, man, you think that's amazing? Think I saw you under the fig tree. That's like, that's rookie level stuff. Like, the blind are going to see. The dead are going to get up, man. The lame are going to walk. Like, you've seen, we're going to feed thousands of people with just, you know, like a Popeye's three-piece. Like, that. You are going to see some stuff, man, you have never seen before. He's like, if this is what you're looking for, then come and follow me. Behold this. Like, you want to see something? Like, then come and, like, let's do this thing together. Look, today, the last thing is this, is that you are a seen son. You're a seen son, and you are a seen daughter today. Like, God saw you before you even saw yourself. Before you could see the potential inside of your own life, God saw the potential in you. You might have thought you were just hiding up under the fig tree, waiting for things to get better. And Jesus says, look, I can see what's in your heart. I can see. He said, he didn't talk about his physical abilities. He didn't talk about his physical appearance. He said, in him there is no deceit. He spoke of his heart. He said, look, I see your heart and who you could become. And look, man, let's do this thing. Look, today for you, and the band's going to come back and we're going to close here in just a minute. But look, today for you, my hope is this. My hope for you is that you understand that he brought a light that you never knew. When Jesus came into the world, a light came into this world that you had never known before. You had never seen it. You had never experienced it. You had never, none of us had. The world hadn't. So here's Jesus, born of this virgin in this manger, and he has this divine moment where now all of a sudden everything was going to change. It wasn't that Jesus just came as a baby so that we could be in awe and be like, ma, it's cute. Christ came as a baby so that we could understand that from the moment we were born to the last breath we breathe, your son, your daughter. Doesn't matter how close or how far you feel from him. Doesn't matter how much you know or how much you don't know about him, your son. The reason is because you're not a son because of your actions. You're a son because of your parents. We can understand this with earthly relationships. No matter how close or how far you are from your family, maybe your parents have already passed away. They don't live on this earth any longer. Maybe for you, you've got a strained relationship. Maybe you haven't spoke to your family in years. But the truth is that no matter how much distance or how close we are, the reality is that that man is still your father. We're a son, not because of the way that we've lived. We're a son because of who created us. And the love that comes from him is to provoke and it's to encourage, but it's to really mess some things up in your life. It really is. God loves you so much that when you begin to behold his love, it begins to mess with your head. But how could you love me? But you don't understand what I've done. You don't understand the life I've lived. You don't understand the decisions I've made. You don't understand. But then all of a sudden, you begin to see his love poured out and manifest on every single area of your life. And that love demands a response. That love demands a response. Holiness is found in beholding him. Look, man, as soon as you're ready to behold his love, the change that you want to see in your life will begin to take place. You don't need another book. You don't need another encouraging text. You need a revelation of his love. You need a revelation of the Son who is sent for you. You need to behold that light. It might demand a radical response, but it's a response that you can give. Would you stand with me all across this room? We're going to close on this Christmas Eve. You know, the truth is this, is that we always find what we're looking for. The light that you look to find, you will see inside of your life. If you're looking for discouragement, you'll find discouragement. If you're looking for defeat, you'll find defeat. If you're looking for depression, you'll find depression. If you're looking for hopelessness, you'll find hopelessness. But if you're looking for the light that is God, that is Jesus, this perfect, spotless Lamb, the one who loves you, saved you, and died for you. He wants to meet you today right where you are. Hey, today, before we bow our heads and pray, I believe there's some of you in here today that You might not have even known what's going on in the service about what the Lord is speaking to you, but you felt the Lord stirring some things inside of your heart today. I believe today can be the greatest day of your life, which is the day of salvation. This isn't a young man's game. It's not an old man's game. It's us. It's a son. It's a daughter. It's for every single person inside of this room. Look, God created you in such a divine way. You cannot let the life that he's called you to wither away with time.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. You can find more info and resources from Legacy House on our website, www.legacyhouse.life, or by following us on social media under the handle @LegacyHouseFL. Don't miss next week's podcast, From Our House to Yours.